better have it recorded. Thank you, Alex, for the invitation, so you can listen to it. But great, it's good to be here and to see familiar faces and to see some unfamiliar faces. And it's really, really good. This thing is going to break my neck. I know it is. It's going to damage me. No, it's not. There we go. But God is doing great things. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you have an expectation in your heart that God is up to something good in our land? He's up to something good in Bridgend. And I just thank God for the fact that in spite of me, God works. Do you ever think that sometimes? You just think, oh, thank you, Lord, you did it anyway. Hallelujah. You know? Since retiring last September, end of September last year, from pastoring, and it's given me the freedom to go visit and work with some other pastors here, there, and a bit of everywhere. But the wonderful thing about it is this, that is to see God moving and to see shoots coming up all over Wales. Different little things that are happening. You think, wow, who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought that one would have been, you know, used in such a way, etc. But I just want to share. I wrote it down. I thought I've got a thing here. It says share good news. So I thought, well, I'll do something like that. So here we go. But did you know that in Iran, right now, Iran is the fastest growing church in the world? Did you know that in Iran, the government of Iran have set up an inquiry as to why Muslims are converting to Christianity? When I heard that, I thought, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. You know? Did you know that in Malaysia, I don't know, anybody know Malaysia? Anybody been there? Oh, you've been there, Andrew? Oh, I'll have to be careful what I say, because my geography is not too good. But the main island of Malaysia is like a banana shape, if I remember rightly. Sort of got that sort of shape. And then there's islands and all that kind of around it. But in Malaysia, about I would say probably, I don't think it's as much as 10 years ago, but the Muslim authorities there said that they were going to drive the Christians into the sea. They're going to push them right into the sea. And on this thing, this email that I got, there was the map. And then someone had drawn a line of where the Christians, how far the Christians had been driven towards the sea, towards one end of the island. And then they put a checkered line with a checker mark on it, you know, those lines drawn across. And what's happening is the Christians, well, they're not pushing back. It's just that Muslims are getting saved. And it's coming back now away from the sea. And I heard that and I thought, God, you're mighty. You're awesome. You're a great and mighty God. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I want to share one other thing with you about how God brings up some surprises. Something that I'm noticing lately is God working with children. Two incidences took place with where I was with children, but I'm only going to refer to one. We were out in America visiting our family out there, and we went on this trip to a camp. Then on the way from the camp, we called into this place for coffee and ice cream for the little ones and things like that. So we stayed around there. And so as I was there in the shop, and Margaret had gone off into the other part of the shop to buy things and that. And I was left with a little one, Bethan. She's, what, seven now? She was seven. And she was there. And we bought her an ice cream. And there was these little two-seater cubicle things, the little table. So I said, oh, come on. I said, we'll sit down here now. We'll sit there. So she was eating her ice cream. And I was thinking about something. Something was going through my mind. And she said to me, she said just out of the blue, she stopped licking her ice cream, she turned to me and she told me what I was thinking. I said to her, who told you that? I went back to her ice cream. And I'm just really sensing that the churches, some of the churches that we go to that were children, God is moving amongst the children. And I get excited about that. I really do get excited about it. And I just believe that that there is such a move of God in our nation. There are some good things going on. Yeah, the enemy is doing some deaf stuff as well. But his time is limited. He's gone past his due by date. He's into the end, so into the end times. But God is doing great things. And so I just want to share that good news with you. And for you to say, look out for these things. You know, sometimes we can be so cloistered in our own little world, we don't see what God is doing elsewhere. We don't go, you know, did you come this morning to the meeting with an expectancy? Or did you say, well, I'm going to come to church and I sit where I always sit and dare anybody ask me to move? You know, I was up at a church in Nantymoil a few years ago. I was asked to speak in a midweek thing up there. And it was an old English church. I love those churches because the acoustics are very nice. You know, and you can say, hallelujah, and the voice goes on, you know. And I sound like an opera singer, you know, it's just great. So I was there, and there was probably about 300 seats in this church. You know, beautifully stone, and there was an altar there and all that. And so I went in there, and I was the only one there at first. So I went in, and I sat 3 rows from the front, sat on the edge, I sat there, fine. With that, some people started to come in. I looked around, and they filled some seats up there. So I carried on, you know, and then I looked around again. There was another noise, and I looked around, and a few more people came in. But, you know, in a hall that size, they were a bit scattered, a bit thin on the ground, you know. But anyway, and with that, I got a tap on my shoulder. And this elderly lady comes to me, and she says, excuse me, she said, but you're sitting in my seat. I turned around, and I said, well, you've got 250 you could pick. You know, but I didn't get upset about it. You know, I wasn't offended by it. I didn't speak to her afterwards, mind. But anyway, but she was a lovely lady. But I thought, you know, I've got to give age, you know, respect your elders. So I got up from the seat and I just moved into the next row. But, you know, sometimes we like that. We don't like movement. We don't hate change. Do you hate change? Oh, leave me the way I am. I like sitting here, you know. Desi and Joan are with us. Desi came in. He was in the car, came back. He was sitting in a chair. He sat in his chair. I shut my mouth. I didn't say anything to him. But he did say to me, do you want a chair? I said, no, no, we don't have that kind of a house here. You can sit anywhere, anybody's chair, you know. I thought, oh, Lord. But... No, actually, I don't care about dudes whether they sit. But you know what? Sometimes we can be like that. We're a bit touchy, aren't we? Are you a touchy sort of Christian? Oh, don't upset me. I hope you say the right things. I hope you're going to, I like being miserable. Leave me alone. You know, that's why we sing the song, you in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine because we don't sit next to each other because... But it's something to think about. But anyway, God is doing good things. And I'm rejoicing in the fact that in our nation, some tremendous things are happening. We've got the Shine event coming off starting tonight, actually, down in Swansea, down at the cricket ground there. And then it goes on for 4 days there. I see you've got the poster up there. But we're looking forward to great things. God is going to do great things. Anyway, I said enough. So I want to introduce you to my lovely wife. Come on, darling. You want to go there? Yes, praise God.
Am I on? I think I'm on. Yeah, thank you. It's been about 12 years. Hello, everybody, since I've been on this platform, and it's absolutely fabulous to be with you today. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's like coming home, seeing all the kids. Gosh, how they've grown, haven't they? Oh, my goodness. And Kelly, that was wonderful leading. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the worship today. Where is she? Oh, there she is. Oh, bless you. Thank you. That was good. Ah, can I just get an ordinary grand? I thought this keyboard was like the one I'm used to playing, but it's a wee bit posher. Yes. Just piano. Thank you, Ogo. I'm sorry about that. But for coming today, like me? Yes, Lord. You know I like you. Well, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, that I love you. Well, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Lord, you know everything. And then Jesus began to tell Peter what you'd have to suffer for his testimony. At the end of our days, I mean, 12 years since I've been here on this platform. It just seems like yesterday. Time is flying. We can't waste time. So many wonderful things, as my husband's been saying, is happening all over the world. Our youngest 7-year-old daughter said that to him in the middle of an ice cream. God is moving.
Yeah.
And she used to say to me many a time on the swings, Grandma, you're thinking of Jesus again, aren't you? I said, how did you know? I just know. Grandma, you're talking to Jesus again in your heart, aren't you? Yeah. God is raising up generations and moving mightily. But at the end of the day, do we really know him? I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And even in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's the bit we run from. But it has to be balanced. That I might really, for me, at the end of my days, know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection today. Amen? Amen? Only he deserves the glory. Only he deserves the praise. We've sung about the goodness of God. I just want to finish with this song. You are the peace that calms my heart, my help in times of need. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my you. deserve the glory. Only you deserve all the praise. And Father, Jen will be transformed by the presence of Christ on the streets, in our homes, in the shops, wherever we are, the power of your resurrection, and even in the fellowship of your sufferings too, for your glory.
Thank you, Margaret. Amen. God is good. Now, the Word of God tells us that we, as God's people, we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I want to note this morning, or this afternoon, are there any kingdom people here? Oh, I don't know. Hey, you need to start teaching on the kingdom, brother. Just now a bit unsure about it. But no, the Bible says that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I just, when I think about that scripture, that you know, when you come, like if you go to another country, you come under the rules and laws of that country. You know, what we might say is permissible over here, you go to another country, say, no, we don't allow that. You know, and I just come to realize that that we need to understand, first of all, that we are in a different kingdom. We are not of this world. We're not of its systems. We're not of its choices. We're not of its standards. We're not of its those things which are so contrary to the Word of God. And we say, no, I'm sorry. That's not for me. And I came to realize that in the kingdom of God, that if you're in any kingdom, that you become subject to its rules and regulations or its terms of being part of that kingdom. There are rules that we must adhere to because we are part of that kingdom. And so it is in the kingdom of God that we need to realize that as we read the Word of God, that we come to that place where we understand and say, you know, we sang, so thank you for the worship this morning, Kelly, with the list of the songs that you sang. Thank you very, very much. And I just want to say this, that you know that there's a choice that we have to make today. Are we in the kingdom or are we not in the kingdom? Because if you were like me as a Christian, I had one leg in one kingdom and another leg in another kingdom. And sometimes you know that through all that time, I thought it was okay because I saw other people were like it, the way they spoke, the way their actions were. But I came to realize that what I was considered to be acceptable, God said to me, David, that's not acceptable. You're in my kingdom now. And in my kingdom, my terms and conditions apply. Make a choice. And I believe that for God to move in any church, any fellowship, any area, doesn't matter where. If you want to know the power of God, we have to begin from this point, that we are in the kingdom of God and we accept all the terms and conditions. Amen. And you might say, well, this contrary to the world. Well, so be it. I don't go around with a Kalashnikov killing people and sort of, you know, saying you will believe what I believe. No, we believe in the power of the gospel. The gospel is powerful. You just need to share it and you'll see the results of it. That's how powerful it is. You don't need to be a tremendous theologian. You just need to realize that the sinner that comes to Christ and receives the forgiveness of sins will experience a transformed life. And so we need to understand that. And one thing the Lord spoke to me a few months ago was this. He is no king who has no subjects. Who's king of your life? Who's king of my life? Who is king? Well, I kind of give, like, I work on a 70-30% kind of submission. We sang this morning that we surrender all. Like the old song says, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. And this is something that is coming to the church, that is challenging the church, because what is coming in the world, but we're in it, but we're not of it, but what is coming is going to challenge us with regards to what we believe. And we got a choice to make. And it's not a case of, well, I'll see what the pastor thinks, or I'll see. Look, it's in the Word of God. God, if you read the Word of God, you read about the terms and conditions. And you say, oh, that's a kind of a legalistic way to live. No, it's just the terms and conditions of the kingdom. Love one another. This is how they'll know you're in the kingdom. Because you have a genuine love for one another. Not a kind of a, you know, that sort of, you know, you know, the embrace and, you know, they just. It might look all right, but the heart is nowhere near what the action is, kind of what they're trying to imply. But we need to be the people that truly love one another as brothers and sisters. That we are of the family of God. And that we've got one another's backs. And we look out for one another. And you know what? It adds strength to the body of Christ. To know that there's someone that is praying for me. Someone is fighting my corner, if you will. And this is something that I believe that we need to take on the responsibilities of being in the kingdom of God and saying, Father, here I am. What do you want me to do? Jesus said, I will build my church. Sometimes we don't like where he places us. Sometimes we back off and say, oh, I'm not doing that. Clean the toilets? Oh, that's above, oh, no. That's above me. You know, that's below me, rather. I'm above that. But when you've got to realize that God says to you, if you're my servant, you'll do what I ask you to do. And sometimes you know that as we, you know, when I went into the ministry and, you know, when I was a young teenager, I used to go to a church in Nice during my teens. And there was an old man there called Pop Pearson. And Pop Pearson was the man that used to wash the floor of the church every Saturday. And there was big oak benches, you know, which would seat about 12, 15 people. And these things, and I looked at him as an older man. He must have been close to 70 when I kind of tagged on to him. And I, as a 16-year-old boy, 15, 16-year-old boy, saw him working in the church. And I said, oh, look, oh, poor guy, you know, he's doing that on his own. Faithfully did it. Nobody shouted his corner. Nobody just go on and do it. So I thought, I'm gonna work with Tom, with Pop Pearson. And I did that. And he showed me how to, because I went there, because I'm youthful, I got the strength and all that. So I grabbed all one of these benches, and they're oak things, you know, and you roll it out, and I could just barely move it. He said, "What are you doing, boy? What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to move this bench for you to get in." "Look," he said, "this is how you do it." So he got a pail of water, bucket full of water, and he went like that all over the floor of the church. "Now," he said, "try and move it." And with one hand, you could grab that big, hefty bench and carry it across, because the water was lubricated the wood. And so, but I began to learn about serving. It began there, about serving the body of Christ. And then as time goes on, then you know, with church and that, I did end up cleaning toilets. But I did it. My mum taught me, and she said, "Remember, boy, whatever you do it as unto the Lord." But sometimes, you know, we can be so highbrow and not realize that we're in the kingdom of God and that we're all servants. We're all servants. And I'm sharing this with you because I believe that God is wanting and desiring, and I think he's on standby to do something great amongst you. But we got to get the order of the kingdom in place according to the word of God. And we do things, and sometimes, you know, we don't always get a pat on the back. You know, sometimes I did work in the church when I was in my stake and we were renovating the cinema. I used to go up after work. I'd be working all day, working up country and all the rest of it. Come home midweek, go up to the church there, and I'd go and do a little job that was important usually with the electrics. And I'd do it. I'd do a work an hour or two, done, go home now. Never told anybody, never said to anybody, "Oh, I did that, I did this." Just, no. Why? Because I was doing it as unto the Lord. Because the moment I start to think about, "Oh, well, nobody's recognizing my good work," I used to get really depressed. But when I started to focus on the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you. This is your house. This is for people that are going to get saved. They're going to come into this building." And so we see that there is so much, you know, from a pastor's point of view, there is so much work to do. But what I've discovered is this, that if we work together, things get done better, things get done quicker, and we are an encouragement to one another whilst we're doing it. But I want to share with you this morning that Romans 15:4 says, this favorite verse of mine, that the Bible said, the Word of God says there in Romans, he says this, you know, "These things were written for our learning." So all that is recorded in Scripture is recorded so that we might learn something. When I discovered that verse, I went, wow. I began to read the Bible differently. Because instead of reading it as a kind of a historic book, or I'm reading it because I'm expected to read so many chapters a day, and just to get through it, I then began to look at it and say, as I read the Scriptures, I began to read and say, "Right, what have I got to learn from this, Lord?" And sometimes I'd read one verse, and I dwell on it, and I meditate on it, and I think about it, because I've got something to learn from it. Sometimes I'd read a chapter. And you know what? It brings the Scriptures alive when you've got that heart that says, "Lord, teach me from your word. Lord, show me in your word." And so, as in Romans 15:4, that these things are written for our learning. I say these things, what I'm saying to you right now is basically a prelude to what I really want to come and share with you. And God is wanting to move, but the enemy comes in and tries to hinder the move of God, and change is coming to the church. There's so much change going on in the body of Christ right now. Absolutely. Stuff you thought was going to be there for centuries, God coming in and bringing change. And we see that, you know, that the whole of the Bible is all about change, isn't it? You know, they came out of Egypt in towards the promised land. Change. God wasn't happy where they were, so God said, no, you got to come out. They called on God, and God answered their prayers, and they came out to go into the promised land. But there was something along the way that as they came out, that first generation Israel that came out of Egypt, that as they came out, they began to mourn, they began to groan, they began to get fed up. They said, we don't like the journey, we've had enough. And what did they say? We want to go back. They wanted to go back. I want to say to you, don't let your past bury your future, because that's what happened to first generation Israel. They look back. We want the old ways. We don't like this thing that's going on. We don't like this journey. We're not happy with it, you know. And the thing was that they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, gosh, that was the very presence of God. Well, just how much of God do you want when you wake up in the morning and see, whoa, God's here? You go to bed and you turn in, and the last thing you do when you close the tent door sort of thing is you see this great big pillar of fire. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine that here you are in Bridgend and you're living around here and there's a pillar of a cloud and a fire and you see that? I wonder if we would become complacent and say, oh, well, it's just God. So what? I think that there is something that, you know, God is not out to impress us. The wonderful thing that we have experienced as believers is this, that we are born again, that we are saved. That is the number one thing. That's what I am eternally thankful to God for, because He has given me eternal life. And I have it for eternity. So that when I leave this planet, I was telling some folks last week, do you ever think about dying? I'm going to confess to you, there's two things I like doing. I like doing funerals and I like doing weddings. I like funerals because I can preach the gospel. And it comes to this fact, and I get people think about it. What's it going to be like? I do. I sit down. I think about these things. On that day when I leave this planet, I wonder where I'll be. I wonder what I'll be doing. Will I be sitting down, standing up, on a bus, on a train? I wonder where I'll be. And then I am no more. I'm gone. I've left. Gone to glory. You should think about it. It sobers you up a bit. But then I thought about, I used to be into Star Trek. And I thought, that's it. It's going to be a Star Trek experience. You know, all those things are going to circle me. And then the next thing you know, I'm going to just disappear from the feet up sort of thing. And there I'll be with Scotty. But I think about these things because this is the reality of this life that we're living in. That this life that we're living for Christ, that He wants us to be part of. And you know, there is something about it that I just believe. That God wants us to come to that place of total surrender. Because God, you can't do anything with anybody who doesn't surrender to doing the work. Can you? You can't. You're working with somebody and they've got a bad attitude. You know, it spoils your work, doesn't it? It spoils the atmosphere in the office or something like that. You know, you're trying to work, you're trying to do your best to them, but nothing satisfies, nothing pleases them what you do, just that atmosphere is there. And sometimes it's like that, you know, that we can have that kind of thinking in church. We come in with this atmosphere. Before doing anything, saying anything, before even saying hello to one another, we can come in. What have you come in with this morning? It's important because God wants to know, because He wants to know, can He come and dwell in the midst of you? Or do we come in and we sit where we sit, where we've always sat? And we say, okay, God, you know, I'm here. Impress me. Oh, and you say, I hope the worship team got it right. Oh. You know, we come in and we're sitting there, we're looking at them. Oh, why did they pick that song? Why did they sing that? Oh, what's wrong with her voice, his voice? What's wrong with the pianist? Oh, what's wrong with this one or that one? What's wrong with the guitar player? But let's be honest about it. Search your own hearts. Or am I the only one that does these kind of things? Because that's how I used to be. And when I go to visit another church, I'd be sitting there observing how the service was going, and I'd be saying, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way. Why did he do it like that? Oh, there's a better way. I've got to go and tell him there's a better way. But the truth of the matter is this. God wants his kingdom to be truly among us. And that his glory will come down. And when the glory of God comes down, I had the privilege of when I moved to Maesteg, and we were living in Neath, and we moved to Maesteg, and we were invited to go to the church in Maesteg. It was a little hut at the time, and God was moving, tremendously moving. And it ended up with three of us in leadership. But the wonderful thing about it was this, that God had three guys who didn't have a clue what they were doing. That's the honest truth. Now, one of us could say, oh, I know how to do all this. And yet, in that time of the outpouring of God, where we saw tremendous things. We saw people getting saved, getting healed, getting delivered. And we would look at each other as if to say, what was that all about? You know, who did that? What is this and what is that? And so, as we became more educated, we could say, oh, well, you know, this is it. But you know, the beautiful thing about it was this, that when we didn't know, when we had a meeting, we didn't know who was going to speak. We didn't even know who was going to lead. And the three of us would be together and say, right, anybody got a word? And say, yeah, I got a word. Okay, you're speaking. Right, who's going to lead tonight? You lead, I think. Oh, well, okay, you lead. And that's how it was. Three guys didn't have a clue what they were doing. But God was there. And the place was jam-packed, a little hut that should have only held about 50 people, probably, legally. But we had no aisle. We put all the chairs out, there was no aisle. We asked the youth to go out into the kitchen because that was the only other room. And God was coming, and in the summer, we had the doors open, and we had a concrete place in front of the church before the pavement, and people were standing on that pavement listening to the service and seeing what God was doing. We saw God do tremendous things. That's the presence of God. The trouble is with me now is that I'm so educated, this gets in the way. Now, the wonderful thing about it is this, that, you know, the Bible tells us that he has given us liberty. But don't interpret that liberty. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That we have come into a liberty in Christ. We've come into a liberty, but what we have not come into is a license. And that's important. So that when our contribution, the Spirit of God will move and move on this one or that one, and they'll get up whatever way it is. And we saw demonic manifestations up there. No, I didn't do any. We just stood at the front. We had three guys didn't know what they were doing. But all of a sudden, there'd be a scream. And I remember one time, one of the elders that was there, he moved on then, but we were there in that meeting, I happened to be leading that particular meeting, and he comes up to me and he says, the Lord has shown me that there's a demon in the corner. I said, oh, there is? Yeah, he said, do you want to go and... I said, no. I said, you got the revelation, you go sort it out. And as he was walking up the aisle towards this demon screamed out. But thank God, deliverance took place. So why I'm saying this is this, because we need to come away from some of our thinking. We need to thinking that the important one in the midst of our congregation is Jesus. I want Jesus in the midst. I want Jesus exalted. I want him to be worshipped. I want him to be given praise. I want his glory to be seen. And this is something that when Jesus is present, things happen. And this is the wonderful thing about it. But I plead with you, will you please prepare to come to the house of the Lord? We need to prepare before you come. Don't go through the usual routine and this, that, and the other, and you're rushing or you're not rushing, whichever, however you come. But you come with a heart of expectancy and say, do you know what? I believe in God. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. I will do this. This is something I'm going to do. It's my responsibility. It's not the music department or the music team. It's not their responsibility. They do what they've got to do. But it's up to us as we come together as the body of Christ. We come with this one thing, that we come to magnify the name of Jesus. We come to glorify the Savior of our souls because of what He's done. Just on that basis alone. I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell. Just how much sort of credibility do you, not credibility, but how much sort of, how much do you have to gather together before you say, look, I've got all this, I better go praise the Lord now. No, God is doing something so tremendous, so wonderful in the land, and I'm seeing it everywhere. We're seeing great things happening down in, going back about 2-3 years ago, how small? When did we move to Kempergill? When were we there? What year was that? 2008. We're going to Kempergill. There's six of them there. We join. There's eight of us. We're all sitting there in this little hall, and we started praise and worship, and things started happening. And the meetings were good. It was nice, but there was still only eight of us. And the Lord spoke to us, and that we, I asked the question because there were a few elderly folks there out of the eight of us who had been in the church since day whatever. And I said to them, I said, but would you sit down with one another and write a list and name everybody who has ever entered this church, or been part of this church, whether they're alive or dead, it doesn't matter. Just write the names. So they did that, and they came to me with a list of approximately 100 names. I got those names, typed them up, printed them, photocopied. I gave a copy to each and everybody. I said, right, they said, when you pray today, I said, just lay hands on it and say, Lord, restore. Lord, restore. And we did that. We prayed for probably a few months. But we prayed that. In our prayer meetings, we prayed, Lord, restore these people. Restore the families, Lord. Begin, O Lord. Begin to do it. Restore. Do you know what we saw was this? The children of people whose parents used to come to the church, they came back. And then we saw people. There was one lady, Wendy, I think. Wendy had been away from the church for 17 years. And she said, I felt drawn to come back. And there's story after story. There's a couple there, Alan and Mary. All but one of their children has come back to the Lord. And the beautiful thing about it is they got married and they have children and they bring their children to the house of the Lord. And there's people there that we had one person came back recently. This elderly lady came in, and she was a sprightly lady, and she came in amongst us, but she seemed to be familiar with everything. She knew, praise and worship and that kind of thing, and knew some of the songs we were singing. So one of the ladies actually got in conversation with her and says, well, where are you from, and how do you know the church? Know the church, she says. I know your mother and father, she said. I used to come to this church 40 years ago, or whatever. So God is a God of restoration, but did you have an expectancy of God to restore? You think about the people that used to come to this church that don't go anywhere right now. Perhaps you've got, your husbands, wives, your children. Bring it before God and say, God, restore my family. Give me a different heart, Lord. Give me a heart of expectancy. Give me a heart that seeks after you, O God. Give me a heart that desires to know your presence in such a way that, Lord, you can knock down every barrier. You can knock down every spirit of opposition. Lord, you can bring them in because Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. And it's a passion of my heart. Because I've seen it work. I've seen the power of the gospel work. I've seen how that just by preaching a simple message of the gospel. A message of hope. A message of the fact that that in that message is life eternal. And that as Jesus is given his rightful place, things start to happen. But you know where it starts with? A people that are prepared. You can talk to some people and you say, why are you in this church? Oh, I like to keep the seat warm. Come on now. But I want to encourage you to desire the presence of God. You might be thinking, well, you know, okay, I'll come to church with having a desire the presence of God. But I want to talk to you at a personal level and say to you, you know, that you have been saved for a purpose. That the hand of God is on your life, you know. He's got good things for you. But you need to decide which kingdom you're in. You need to break away and say, I have left that kingdom. I am now in this kingdom. I am no longer that person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm born and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. My chains are broken. But sometimes we live in this dual kingdom kind of mentality. And the trouble is, in that kingdom, you've got a ball and chain. And we didn't realize it. And I didn't realize it until God spoke to me one day, going back some years ago, and God said to me, how can a man in chains tell another man to go free? And I'm going to say this morning, there's some of you who've got ball and chain around you, and you can't move into the things of God because you're not vacating that kingdom. You've got to come fully into His kingdom. It says you either all belong to Him or not at all. There's no half. There is no such thing as half and half. That's why He said, because to the church in Laodicea, He said, you are neither hot nor cold, He said. I wish you were either hot or I wish you were cold, He said, but one or the other. But He said, it's this tepid water, this tepid. He said, if I drink you, He said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Are you a tepid Christian? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, I'm a bit long this morning. Or do you come in prepared saying, do you know what? I'm believing God's going to give us a good word this morning. I believe that whoever's going to do the ministry, whoever's going to do the preaching, whoever's going to bring the prophetic word, whoever's going to do it, you know, it's whoever's God is going to anoint to do the worship, the one playing the piano, God's going to anoint them so tremendously this morning, they're going to play chords they never even knew was in them. Heart of expectancy. So when you stand around people who have this expectant heart, it becomes infectious. And do you know where it begins? It begins in the home. You know, Margaret was better at it than me. But without children. Oh, come on, we're going to the house of the Lord. Come on, God is going to do great things. Margaret is saying, encourage them to go. Come on, get ready. Why aren't you ready? Come on, we can't keep Jesus waiting. Come on, we've got to get to the meeting. We're going to have a good time in the presence of God. And I was so encouraged by her contribution. And I was the pastor. You know? Some of you are fighting with things for too long. You're fighting with issues in your spiritual walk. And God says, enough's enough. Make your mind up. Make your choice. Because where I'm going, you can't come the way you are. We don't want to miss, like that first generation Israel. We don't want to miss what God has laid up for those who love Him. We don't want to miss it. Just do not want to miss it. so I believe, you know, that you know, you come to church, that will somebody make a start? Will somebody prepare yourself at home? And you start off with, I'm going to praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. God is good. You're good to me, Lord. Thank you for what I have. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Come in. I'm praising God. I'm thanking God. I come into the house of the Lord, worshiping the Lord, magnifying the Lord, seeking God, magnifying his name. The character of a nation is seen in the conduct of its people. The character of a nation is seen in the conduct of its people. If you were in Austria, I'll pick Austria. I think I got it right. If you go to Austria and you see all this business, you know, and they do all that kind of thing, you say, oh, he's Austrian. Oh, he's from that part of the world. Yeah. You've been there, haven't you? But we can identify. It's like the Welsh. You know you're in Wales if you see people around with black hats and shawls and aprons and, you know, and it's that kind of thing. You say, oh, they're from Wales. If you go to France, they've got bigger white hats. They've got different hats out there. And we've been to the Bastille Day a few times. Margaret's brother lives up there. We visited, and we were going to the Bastille Day celebration. And there you see them there all in their these funny hats and that, and say, oh, French. French. I wonder if what we do and the way we conduct ourselves says, Christian, follower of Jesus, look how they love one another. Because the character of a nation is seen in the conduct of its people. If we've got that attitude of pulling down this one, pulling down the leadership, pulling down, you know, instead of praying for them and asking God to help them, I've come to realize that sometimes my objections or my judgments are based upon things I don't know. You might see me in a situation. You think, what is he doing there? Why is he in that? Or why? What's going on? Why is that one, you know, come in? Like, and you see, oh, this, you get that discernment, and you say, oh, something wrong with them. They're not usually like that. There's something. Oh, they must have had a, you know, perhaps he didn't sleep long enough. But what I've discovered is this, and I learned it the hard way. As a pastor, when I was a young pastor, everybody I met, I would come up to them and say, how are you? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, lovely to see you. And it was everything was hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. And I'd be like that. I wouldn't even stop to think. I wouldn't seek to nothing, but to actually engage with them. I'd just get this bit over with. I'm the pastor, thank you for coming. All that kind of stuff. But thank you, praise the Lord, amen. Until this one time, and a lady came in, and I went up, did my usual thing. Oh, hello there, how are you? God bless you. Praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. Lovely to see you. Great. And I said, how are you doing? I asked the question, how are you doing? And she said, I buried my husband 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. That's what I said. Do you get it? What a dumb thing to do. Because up here, I was doing what I thought was, that's how you do it. Sometimes people come to us and we go in their company. It's good to hear their story. Sometimes we don't do that as believers. We assume that everything is okay. We assume that everything is working fine. But sometimes, you know, that God wants us to have, you know, Jesus was compassionate. He sat with publicans and sinners. What was he doing? He was listening to their story. How is your life? Oh, terrible. Hell on earth. Got this going on, that going on. And there he was, the one with the good news. The one with the good news. And here we are. We have got the good news. And there's a world of people out there that are in darkness, that want the light to shine, who want to illuminate, to give them, you know, that future, that hope that we have in Christ. And I just pray that as a fellowship, that you begin to change, because change is coming, whether you like it or not. It's not only happening here, it's happening in other churches. To some churches, we have seen such big change. I mean, all really, really big change. But you know, the end result has been good. Because all the people came to agreement and says, we got to work together. We got to join hands. We got to pull the Lord together. We've got to... It was like Pastor John Marshall used to say to us, you know, he'd say, you know, one Shire horse can pull so many ton. Two Shire horses can do more than double. I don't know what the exact figures are. Well, that's how it is in the church. When we all get together and work together, instead of sitting back and leaving it, oh, that's what they do, they just leave them to it. Some good Christians have been killed because nobody would come alongside and say, hey, how can I help you? How can I help you? If God was to bring in 100 people, are you ready for them? God was to add to this church 100 people, are you ready to receive them? Because the kind of people that God would bring in is not just only the down and outs. Not just the poor. Sometimes God will bring in people, and do you know what? They'll have a better singing voice than you. Or we bring in people that will come and they be real teachers of the word. And sometimes we can be threatened by that. And the people that come in, and so we put this wall up and say, no, this is what I do. This is me. This is my identity in the church. What I do. I want to say this. Our identity is in Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Nobody else. It's not about me. I don't care. I've come here with this. The message I had, I have not preached it. But what I've shared with you, I believe, is what God wants you to hear. Because I know there's great potential in this place. I really do. I really do. And some of you have been on this journey quite a while. Ask the Lord. Lord, if I need to change, change me. Lord, if I need to change, will you change me? Some of you are dealing with, there are things going on in your life that you have hidden from church folks. You've hidden. When I mentioned about my granddaughter speaking to me in that cafe and telling me what I was thinking, it scared the life out of me. To think a child could tell me what I'm thinking. I thought, oh, I'm glad I wasn't with her when I was doing such and such a thing. I'm, you know, when I was a young boy, you know, I was a teenager, I did teenage things. But I never told, you know, my mum loved my mum. My dad was a good man. He was a godly man. But, you know, we went through those teens. There were four mates of us, and we'd go off to Cardiff and go down to the student union and things like that, to this pub down there, and we'd be there. And anyway, this one time I met this girl. And... it wasn't good things that we were doing. Okay. Now, my dad was a godly man. So I come home. I'm late getting home. Close, gone midnight. I come in. come in through the back door of the house, come in, go in. Oh, my dad is sitting in a chair right by the side of the fireplace. And he turns to me and he says, I know where you've been and I know what you did. Do you know, I never did it again. It's called the fear of the Lord. It's called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit, because I believe these days are coming. That God is going to come. And there's one thing that God is doing. You know, in the last revival, it was the line was, Lord, bend me. What's his name from Lacha? You know,
Evan Roberts.
That was his prayer. Lord, bend me. In other words, he's talking about submission. Bend me, Lord. And he prayed that, and revival came. I believe that in this next move of God that is coming our way, it's going to be, Lord, will you clean me? Will you clean me? Because the church, there's so much going on that is of pollution. It's there's some stuff that goes in churches that you think are, oh, they create their happy, clappy bunch. They're good. They got all the things going together. But there was an uncleanness about them. And God revealed it. And it's like, it brings to me the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, not that I cower in the corner and I'm hiding from God. He's saying, Lord, take my heart, Lord. Lord, if you see any wicked way in me, Lord, cleanse me of it. The psalmist cried, Lord, it was Psalm 51, was it? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, give me a character change, because right now my character stinks. I've got a bad attitude to my wife. I've got a bad attitude to my kids. I've got a bad attitude to my workmates. I've got a bad attitude to those in church. And Lord, although I keep it hidden, you know my heart has got a bad attitude. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Is it possible? Can it ever be? Well, I got yes. We've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let that new man in Christ, that new person within you, born of the Holy Spirit, let that person out. We've got people coming out with things these days. Oh, this one has come out. That one has come out. Well, how about the church of God? Those born again believers, those filled with the Holy Spirit. How about you guys coming out? And start living the kingdom life. And it's not about what God can do for me, because he's already done it. It's not about what I can do for God, because he doesn't really need me. But he can choose me. I'm there. I'm a servant. It's like when you see in the royalty and they have these state banquets, you know, and they get all these guys in red jackets lined up and up on the back wall. And the queen comes in, sits down, and there they're all standing, napkins over their arm, ready to serve. That's exactly what God wants of us. Lord, I'm ready. I'm not even going to tell you what I want to be. I'm not even going to tell you what I want to do. I'm not even going to tell, Lord, I leave that to you. That we might become a church that is fitly framed together, Ephesians 2. Sometimes you go to church and they're so disjointed. Nobody fits together. There's this group over here and that group over there and this group over here. And nobody kind of, you know, they just all is awkward. And as you go into churches and you think, oh, they want me to preach in here. I go, I don't know if I can do it. Because it's so disjointed. There's no harmony. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? But two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. Okay, two or three. Good. Well, we can handle two or three. Nice little bunch. But Lord, when we get into the hundreds or even the thousands, oh, some of the characters that come out then. There are things reserved for us, for you and me in heaven. That if our eyes are open to what God has for us, we would get blown away. But sometimes we get into so much grief and so much un-Christ-like attitude. And we've got to lay it down and say, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's about you. I find it tough, Lord. It hits my flesh. Because that's the problem. It's the flesh. It's that old Adamic nature that has not died. You know, that's a wonderful thing about water baptism, you know. The Bible says we get baptized and we come out with newness of life. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We do it in obedience to Christ. When I was in America a few weeks ago, my son-in-law, I think, was preaching. Did he preach? Well, he did something. Yeah, he preached. And he came out with this statement. He said, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a higher standard of Christian, of being a Christian, in the sense of, like, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought, how true that sometimes we think, oh, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and, you know, yeah, I'm there. But you know, we know that Christ, the things that Christ has to be formed in us, his nature, his character, his sense, his sympathy, his you know, Christ came alongside people. He loved on them. Even the unlovely, he loved on them. And so we as God's people, I want to leave you with this. Will you seek the face of God for yourself? Take time out with God. I just want to say one other thing is this. It's not about the quantity of time you spend with the Lord, with God. It's the quality of the time you spend with God. And this is something that has to be you start off and you think, oh, how do these people pray for 4 hours? I don't get it. No, you never get it until you spend 5 minutes with him. But as you come before, and you don't say, well, right, well, I'm going to do 5 minutes a day then. No, I'm not telling you that. You build, it's a relationship. I have a relationship with my wife. When we first met, it was like 5 minutes. Yeah, oh, yeah, thank you. I mean, I prayed for a wife, by the way. And I asked the Lord, I think I need a wife. And I described this lady that I thought would be right for me. And Margaret and I met. I actually literally fell for Margaret. I did, honestly. Fell flat on my face. We were in a... What time did it? We were in a place called Penygros, and there was a convention. And it was tipping down with rain all week. Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, I had been praying. Now I said, Lord, I need a wife. I need, Lord, please lead me to the right woman. So I left it with the Lord. I got invited to a caravan because there were caravans, it was like a caravan park and tents. But I happened to be living in a tent, but she was living in a caravan. Posh. And we got invited. Three of my mates, we said, oh, come around, we're going to have supper, and you can come have supper. So there we are, we sat there. There she was sitting opposite me. I said, oh, that's nice. That's good. I thought, right, okay. And then, of course, being a camp thing, you got the toilets, haven't you? You know, so the toilets were at the back of the convention hall. So one night, before turning into bed, I've got to go visit. And as I'm going there, who's standing outside with her curlers and her thing all run up? Didn't you have curlers? What were they then? Must have been a vision. Nivea cream on. There you go. But I saw her there, and the rest is history, as you know. But you know what? There's something about, it's about relationship. You get the relationship right. Work at it. Oh, I had a tough 5 years. But God was good to us. And I was dumb enough to behave the way I did behave when I shouldn't have behaved that way. But I came to realize, Now she's God's choice for me. I asked God to choose my wife. And by God's grace, been married 47 years. And God willing, we'll do the rest of our life together. But this is the wonderful thing. So but you've got to have a relationship. And it's like that in the church. You've got to have that clean relationship. A clean relationship. Keep your marriage clean. Be careful what you allow into it. Be careful what you watch on TV. If you're watching something on TV, just say to yourself, is that kingdom or is it not kingdom? Turn the thing off. Go on to something that's building up. Amen. I think I better stop. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Can I just pray with folks? Well, no, not appeal, but I'd like you all to stand. We're just going to pray. Margaret, can